President Obama is visiting states that have passed tough gun control measures. Today, Colorado. Monday, Connecticut, to make another emotional pitch for legislation in the wake of the Newtown school shooting. But liberals like Chris Matthews are wondering if he could be doing more.
I don't see him demanding the debate over the gun issue. I don't see him on the front page or leading the evening news. Is this strategic on his part? I allow that. Does he believe that if his all-out support would endanger gun safety, for example? Well, his lack of engagement certainly isn't helping that fight.
Well, our next guest says President Obama doesn't really want legislation, that he's keeping his social reform powder dry for immigration reform. Paul Barrett is author of the book Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. He's also a senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek, of course owned by gun control advocate New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We want to spend a few minutes with him today on just what happened to the momentum behind the push for gun control. Paul joins us from Bloomberg Radio in New York. Hi.
Good morning.
So, you know, the president held that impassioned news conference last week surrounded by weeping family members of people killed by gun violence. Make your case that he doesn't want legislation.
Yeah, I think that mischaracterizes my view slightly. I don't think it's a question of the president not wanting this legislation. In an ideal world with 100 Democratic senators who agreed with him in the Senate, I think he'd be quite happy to see passed and enacted everything he's proposed. I think my point in a lot of my writing has been is that this is not a terribly high priority for the president compared to immigration reform, which I think seems much more feasible. I think the amount of political capital that the president has invested in this project is modest. And we saw that very significantly with his State of the Union address, when his emotional refrain was the victims of various shootings deserve a vote. It was a procedural argument. He was saying to Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader in the Senate, and to his Republican opponents, we should put this on the floor and let people vote on it. That is not a stirring call for a change in the laws. That's a call for a public demonstration that there's been a vote and now we can move on to bigger issues.
Well, you write also that Dianne Feinstein's bill on assault weapons bans died without a peep from the president. If there were a time for him to step up and spend political capital, it's now. He's not doing it. So, you know, that criticism. But what about the suggestion that this might be strategy to keep himself out of the equation?
Well, I think it is strategy. It's strategy to lower expectations, and the president and his aides have been doing that since the minutes after Newtown, as they had after previous random mass shootings. They have stressed, rather than the strategy for getting to the conclusion of enacting new gun control laws, how difficult it would be to enact new gun control laws. Jay Carney has said over and over again in the White House briefing room that this is an uphill battle. We're not sure we can win. That's not the language of a political group that is pushing as hard as it possibly can to achieve a goal.
Well, right after Newtown, lawmakers were also saying everyone could agree on strengthening gun sale background checks, clamping down on gun trafficking, things that polls show a majority of Americans favor. And now the thinking is neither of these previously acceptable things are even going to maybe even get the vote that you talked about. Here's Chris Matthews, you know, questioning Congress.
The way things are headed right now, the United States Congress, which represents the whole American people, is not even going to vote on stronger background checks, something 9 out of 10 of us agree on. Washington, can you hear me? You care that all those kids died? Do you really? Or do you only care about Wayne LaPierre?
Paul Barrett, is that a fair? Is it Wayne LaPierre and the NRA that are behind this, you know, stemming of the momentum after Newtown?
No, I think that's quite unfair. I think for Chris Matthews or for anyone else to suggest that members of the NRA or anyone else who's a big backer of gun rights doesn't care about children, doesn't care about the slaughter of first graders in Newtown, is the worst kind of political polemic argument. So I would just set that aside completely. I think what we have here is a genuine disagreement where many Republican members of Congress, it's not that the NRA is twisting their arm and forcing them to change their views. Their views are more or less in line with what the NRA advocates. Now, it is true that the entire debate has shifted to the right or shifted in the direction of libertarianism, shifted toward fewer restrictions over time. What once seemed like a very reasonable proposal, in the late 1990s to make background checks comprehensive, something the NRA, Wayne LaPierre at that time endorsed, today seems almost impossible to get enacted. So it is true that our politics have shifted on this. I don't think it helps at all to suggest that one side of the debate cares about children and the other side doesn't care. And I also think it's very, very important to remember that when public opinion polls are taken, among Republicans, there's 80% support for the NRA. So it is simply not surprising that Republican members of Congress end up in the same general area as the NRA.
Well, you point to a couple of things. You, first of all, say national polls don't matter. I want to hear more about that. And you also point to Democrats. We know this. Democrats in states that have a gun culture. You know, for instance, you've got Mark Pryor from Arkansas. He responded to Mayor Bloomberg's ads. He put out ads targeting legislators, pushing them to vote for gun control. And Pryor's response was, "I don't take gun advice from the mayor of New York City. I listen to Arkansans." Paul Barrett of Bloomberg Business Week, who wrote the book Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. We want to talk to you more about what you think supporters of gun control should have been focusing on. What else happened to sort of change the momentum that we saw post-Newtown for more gun control? Listeners, of course, we'd always love to hear from you, your opinion, hereandnow.org. Be back in a minute with more from Paul Barrett, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at where we are on gun control. Following the shootings in Newtown, people across the country thought that there would be more. Polls show that many Americans want more. Today, Connecticut is passing stronger gun control laws. Colorado's already done so. But what happened to that momentum nationally? We're talking to Paul Barrett of Bloomberg Business Week. He wrote the book Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. He's been following this debate for many years. And Paul, you know, just talk about some of the things that you've written in the past. You were one early on who said, don't even try for the assault weapons ban. These are the militarized weapons, one trigger pull per bullet, but usually automatic reload from high-capacity magazines. You said more sensible would be to improve the criminal background checks. In your mind, did supporters of gun control blow that?
Well, I certainly think they made a strategic mistake by immediately in the wake of Newtown trotting out the so-called assault weapons ban, which is, I think, a very flawed approach to this problem. The weapon itself is not any more or less lethal than grandpa's wooden stock deer hunting rifle. What makes the weapon more lethal is the large ammunition capacity. So if you want to focus on that mass shooting context, it would have made a lot more sense to narrow the focus on ammunition capacity, talk only about magazines, and not talk about the weapons, whether you like the way those weapons look or not. But more to the point, I think the whole approach has proved to be flawed. By stressing gun control as opposed to stressing an anti-crime agenda, you immediately invoke the Second Amendment. You immediately set off this radioactive debate we have in this country about the meaning of the Second Amendment, when in fact you could take something like improved background checks as an effort not to criticize or attack guns, but to talk only about access to firearms, keeping them out of the hands of criminals and people who shouldn't have them.
Well, you know, the criticism, though, of background checks, the NRA says they're poorly managed. People worry about how you keep records. And right now, many people who are prohibited from owning guns, let's say with a mental illness, their names aren't entered into state databases. One reason is that states aren't eligible for federal money to improve record keeping. So there's all these questions about, and questions that have been raised quite well, quite effectively by the NRA about how background checks would work. You say what?
Well, I guess I would disagree with you in terms of the questions the NRA has raised. I think these are legitimate questions, but I don't think that they are ultimately questions that ought to decide the debate. I think the whole system ought to be improved. When you have a reasonable public policy for which there is a broad consensus and where the policy has been in place for a number of years, as is the case with background checks, and if there are imperfections in it, the way to solve the problem is not to just take the whole thing and eliminate it. It's to improve it and find the flaws and keep improving it over time. Right now, we have this loophole in the background check system where private transactions, those not involving federally licensed firearm dealers, are simply not part of the system. The fact that the existing system doesn't always work perfectly is not an argument for trying to improve it. I would counter the NRA argument in that fashion.
Well, you even say the president could, you know, remedy some of these questions with executive orders and financial incentives for states to comply. And it raises the question that seems to be the one of the hour. Are lawmakers going about gun control the right way? And you and others, as we're hearing, are saying stiffen and enforce existing laws. Yesterday, President Obama's former chief of staff, William Daley, wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal saying there was a misplaced focus on limiting gun ownership for high-risk people rather than enforcing already existing laws about carrying illegal handguns. This, again, though, is the argument that the NRA makes, that, you know, we should enforce existing laws.
Yeah, well, I don't think, I mean, I personally, and I would assume that Mr. Daley would agree with this, I don't care if an idea that sounds reasonable and makes sense is something the NRA disagrees with or agrees with. Mm. If they happen to agree with it, terrific. The point is to build a consensus, not to draw lines and have constant cultural warfare. And I would agree with Daley's general approach. And I would say that the best way to raise this whole issue in a constructive sense is to look at communities such as New York and, in fact, the entire United States society where crime has gone down over time. Try to figure out what policies have contributed to the decrease in crime. In New York, we have a much safer city than we used to have. And try to replicate those successful policies. And I do think that strict enforcement of existing criminal laws having to do with illegal possession of guns is one very straightforward way to do that. Yeah, if the NRA agrees, God bless them.
Well, by the way, I want to get something in here. We report in rollovers for different time zones. And yesterday we first reported that the NRA wanted volunteer armed guards in schools. Later we reported that while the study commissioned by the NRA recommended these volunteer armed guards, the NRA actually rejected that. They got too much resistance from school superintendents. They're now pushing for arming and training teachers and staff. Someone interpreted that yesterday as being a more nimble NRA than we've seen in the past, you know, reacting to pushback. I guess with that in mind, Paul Barrett, in just about the minute we have, what do you think we're going to see of any kind of gun proposals coming out of Congress?
I think ultimately we'll see nothing particularly significant coming out of Congress. The debate is now taking place in the Democratic-controlled Senate, and they're having trouble getting significant bills to the floor. We haven't even begun yet with the Republican-controlled and Tea Party-influenced House of Representatives. I don't think, realistically speaking, for better or for worse, anything significant is going to pass the House of Representatives.
Blown opportunity?
From the point of view of gun control proponents, yes. From the point of view of people who believe in robust gun rights, it's democracy in action.
Paul Barrett, Assistant Managing Editor at Bloomberg Businessweek. Again, his book, Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. Paul, thanks so much for weighing in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And, of course, we want to hear from you out there. Did gun control proponents blow this? Should they have not focused on assault weapons and magazines and focused on background checks? Or do you think that, as Paul just said, this is democracy at work? Let us know, hereandnow.org, on Facebook as well. Latest news is next, Here and Now.